Dear congregation, children, you perhaps remember a similar instance to that which we read here in John 21 in the early days of Jesus' ministry. In Luke 5, we have recorded that Jesus had come to the seashore and he had asked for these men who were on the shore if he could borrow their boat. And he pushed off a little ways and he preached to the people. And it was at that time when he had finished speaking that Jesus said to Simon Peter that he should launch off a little into the deep and let down his net for a draught of fish. And the response of Peter, as would have been the response here in John 21, he said, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, Peter had already come to know that this was the Messiah, the Lord, whom God had sent. And we know that when they went out at the command of Jesus, they enclosed such a net and catch of fish that the nets broke. And the boats were so filled with fish that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down when he had come to shore. And he fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter, a young lamb in grace, had come to a greater understanding of who it was that was speaking to him. None other than the Lord of glory. And Peter reveals something within himself about his own unworthiness, his own sinfulness. And perhaps it was something in the words that Jesus had spoken in his sermon that had convicted Peter also. We mustn't see in these words when Peter says to Jesus, "Now depart from me, for I am a sinful man," that he would want to say to Jesus, "Now go away from me forever." But he was simply uttering from his heart, he was unworthy to be in the presence of this glorious and majestic Lord. And as we consider at the end of this year, if we would tally our own lives, would we not have reason and cause to also come and fall at the feet of our Lord, realizing it's lost at the end of this year? And often at the end of the year, we come to church perhaps to hear a solemn message. And at times necessary and good. We've seen that last Sunday. But although Peter here, we see, confesses he is not worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet it is Christ who calls this very man, Peter, to follow him. And what we're going to have unfolded before us tonight is a confirmation in many senses of what Peter had experienced before. It was after Jesus' resurrection that we read here in John, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. What we're going to see in this chapter, the Lord willing, is that, first of all, we're met with the disciples' failure. We have before us a most wonderful history with many spiritual applications at the close of this year. And as we consider these disciples, children, just put yourselves for a moment this evening in their sandals. Jesus, whom they had supposed was the deliverer, the Messiah, had gone the way of suffering and death. And in many respects, the hopes of the disciples had been shattered. It lost really all hope and expectation. This was he, they had said, who we had hoped would redeem Israel. And they buried him. They forgot all about His words that He said He would rise again. But with His resurrection, there came a renewed sense of hope and expectation in the hearts of these disciples, though they did not fully understand all that was going to take place. They were still in some respects in the dark as to how these things which He had told them before were going to unfold. And you remember, don't you, children, He had appeared unto them already twice. Once Thomas was absent on the Lord's Day, and the second time on His resurrection reminder when Thomas was present. And perhaps we could relate to the disciples who must have been thinking that Jesus was going to set up His earthly kingdom, but He didn't do that. Instead, He suffered and died, and now He's risen again. Certainly now He's going to set up this kingdom, perhaps. And we know in Matthew, the account given of Jesus meeting with His disciples, He had told them to go to Galilee and that He would appear to them there. So it was in this time period now when Jesus was more or less refraining from revealing Himself to them that they were in this circumstance. And the picture that John is painting for us is very vivid and it's very descriptive. The disciples, it seems, are waiting and waiting and waiting for Jesus to come. And you could just about hear Peter, who is the spokesman, it seems, of the disciples. Where are we going to go now? Jesus isn't returning back. Are we supposed to go out and preach? What's the next in line of the commission of our Lord? What is He going to have us to do? It seems as if their questions are multiplied. They must have talked together about these things, of what the Lord would have Him to do as they wait. And Peter, in that setting, he makes this statement, "I go fishing." Now, this is something they were very accustomed to do. Instead of just sitting around, it seems, and waiting, as the Lord had told them to do, this was something very common that would have certainly been very practical, very understandable, that the disciples and Peter, as they're sitting and waiting, suddenly Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." Since it wasn't clear what they were to do, he says, "I'm going fishing." And the six who are with him quickly agree, and they go down from the mountain into the valley to the seashore, to their boats that they knew so well. And maybe as you reflect upon this past year, it's been something like that. You've known seasons and times in your life when the Lord has been near to you. He's spoken to you through His Word. You've had impressions and convictions and comforts, and you've sensed the love of God in Jesus Christ. But perhaps there's been a dryness in a measure, and you've been waiting for our Lord to speak with that same conviction, that same power and authority. And like Peter, we're nearing the end of the year now, a time and you're going to go fishing. Your waiting seems fruitless. Perhaps there's even come in your life a time of neglect. Neglect in studying the Word or in prayers. You maybe can't make heads or tails out of your spiritual life. Where is it going? How is it going? Like Peter, you go about your daily tasks. You have to go about your daily work. It's something you know how to do. It's something you know that God has commanded you to do, even as a church. Where is the way forward? You look back, dryness in a certain measure, having your own pastor, and you're wondering, what is the way forward? And then we read, the disciples have toiled all night, and they caught nothing. Now, you have to understand, these men were fishermen, probably from their very youth, and they had often watched the weather, and they knew how to fish, and they knew when to fish. And this night, after Peter had said, we're going fishing, they drew in the net time and again. And time and again, there were no fish. And then we read, it was beginning to dawn. Sun was coming up, and the light was beginning to shed upon the water. And about 300 feet or so away on the shore, there was a man who appeared. And I suppose the fishermen would have thought he would be a man from the market who is coming to buy some of their fish. They didn't know, we read, that it was Jesus. And Jesus suddenly calls out over the water, lads, boys, children, do you have any meat? And you need to know that in the Greek, you can ask a question. And when you do that, you can ask it either expecting a yes or a no answer. And Jesus asked this question expecting a negative answer. In other words, what Jesus is saying to them is, lads, you don't have any meat, do you? Now, we need to point out, of course, that Jesus, who is God, obviously doesn't need to be told by the disciples they hadn't caught anything. He knew that. He had directed every one of those fish so that not one of them was in the net. And what He is going to be teaching His disciples, and what I trust He teaches us also at the end of this year, as we drag up our nets and we suppose perhaps to present something to God, they're empty. All our own doings, all our own efforts, and all our own strength comes to nothing. And actually, we could say that they caught nothing was a mercy of God. This was His love which was being displayed to His disciples. It was really eternal love in the heart of the one who stood on the shore, who asked the question, you don't have any meat, do you? Suppose they had 5 fish in their net. They could have said, well, we only caught 5 this morning, not enough for you to buy. You have to go find someone else. And when they had to confess, they had no fish at all. All their toil had earned them nothing. And perhaps as you look back over all this past year, all your toiling, laboring, if you expected to bring it at the end of this year to God, it's empty. It's fleeting. It vanishes away. What is Jesus going to show them what they're to do? He's going to simply say at His command, you cast your net on the other side of the ship. They were to obey His command. And this alone was going to yield fruit. Jesus was going to show them in this passage in so many ways His power, so that as they entered in upon the ministry He was going to give them, they would recognize at the very beginning of the way, in themselves unworthy, unfruitful, but in Him was an abundant supply. As we end this year, in ourselves, fruitless, unfaithful, but in Him, there is a boundless supply. Jesus is here also going to restore Peter and that commission to be a fisher of men, a shepherd of the sheep. I can well imagine these disciples, as they had toiled all night long and had caught nothing, adding to their frustration of where was Jesus directing us what we were to do, and they of themselves went fishing. And the man on the shore asked the question, "Don't have any meat, do you?" Maybe you've been casting the net, spiritually speaking, of your life, one side of the ship, in your own doings, in your own prayers, in your own tears. You've let down your net in very difficult waters in this past year, and you've brought them up empty. Maybe you've tried to remember even the things that the Lord has done for you, which have brought you comfort in the past. The same sense of comfort and peace. Though you can't deny what God has done and what He's spoken, it's not the same. And the Lord comes to you tonight, and He says, "You don't have anything to bring me, do you?" And grace makes us honest. "No, at the end of this year, I don't have anything." All we could claim for ourselves is sin. There's nothing in me. There's nothing ever that would be in me to be found pleasing in myself. And so the disciples answer Jesus. And perhaps they don't even really want to answer the man on the shore. Perhaps would have rather said, "You go mind your own business." But this man had asked in such a compassionate and sensing way, "Children, you don't have any meat, do you?" It's because He is going to come to provide. And tonight, as He comes and asks you, "Where is the fruit you bring to the altar of gratitude to me?" There's a most strange order, a most strange request to these skillful fishermen. It was contrary to reason. It was contrary to everything they were used to do. Cast the net on the other side of the ship, 10 feet in the other direction. If anybody could see pools of fish below them in the water, it would have been the disciples, not the man 300 feet on shore. But Jesus wants to show His disciples, when they would walk in obedience to His word and His command, then would follow blessing. And so we too, as we close out this year and we enter into the new, we need to be sensitive to look to Him, to His word, for His commands that we ought to obey and follow. This was a painful and humbling experience for these disciples. I think it's apparent to us that that was so because John the Apostle, also a fisherman, was able to write later this concluding part of his book with such vivid clarity, remembering exactly even how many fish they caught. And what they must have learned from this experience was that indeed Jesus is able to direct them from afar. There He is, 300 feet off of shore, and He's commanding and directing them, "Let your nets down on the other side of the ship." And when they gathered in the nets, it was precisely the number of fish they ought to catch. And what He's teaching them, He is soon to be gone with them, and at a greater distance, perhaps in some estimation, but in another estimation, He was always near at hand. Though he would ascend into heaven in glory, he has told him, I will be with you. I will send the Spirit, my Spirit, the Comforter, to be in you. And that's what we need at the end of this year also. As Christ our Lord stands on the eternal shores of heaven itself, He knows exactly what's taking place in this world and in His church and in our lives. He knows when we become impatient with waiting upon Him. And yet He comes to us with His Word and He directs and He leads us. And so often when He's not speaking to us as we would desire, we become impatient and we set out to work on our own and we do our own thing, and then we realize all of our human efforts, all of our human strength to solve our problems, to solve our dilemmas, comes to nothing. And we need to trust and obey. We read, they cast their four. They obeyed. It was not until afterward that they understood and knew that it was the Lord. They heard this man on the shore telling them to cast on the other side. They heard, they obeyed, and then they gathered in this crop of fish. And maybe this is true for you also. In this past year, you've gone through part of the year in dryness, and barrenness spiritually, and as you turn to the Word, as you heard His Word speaking to your soul, you followed Him in obedience and trust, and it brought in your soul peace, confidence. So it was with the disciples. They heard Jesus speak and they obeyed. The disciples learned on this morning of this fishing trip that they were failures. They had nothing. And when the disciples come to this confession of utter emptiness, the Lord had made room to provide with His bounty and His provision. So it is spiritually for us. When we are filled and increased with good and lack nothing, the Lord maintains His distance. When we come to own our poverty, our sinfulness, our failures, He comes to supply with His provision. Have you ever come to the place where you've been emptied? Where you realize as you stand before the presence of this One of whom we hear in John 21, we are sinful men, sinful women, sinful children, and we flee to Him for refuge and pardon, and we find Jesus to be better than we ever could imagine. It's very evident in this passage that a miracle, the extraordinary, happened. The disciples had toiled all night, and with the simple word of this stranger, their nets were now full. And it's John. John, who seems to be the disciple who thinks before he speaks, he says as he turns to Peter, "It is the Lord." And what a word, as John says it, must have reverberated to the very depth of each of their souls. It's the Lord. Their hearts had no doubt been burning for Him, yearning for Him. Where was He? He had said to go to Galilee and they had missed Him and they went to fishing. And so it is when the Lord speaks to us. Our hearts perhaps missing His sensible presence and His Word being spoken to us with power. We have this yearning, this desire. And when He speaks again, we say with certainty, it is the Lord. And our hearts go out to Him. And by faith, we believe and receive His Word. And maybe you can't explain that in so many words, but you know when it's the Lord who speaks, there's no mistaking it. As John said, it's the Lord. And if you have heard Him speak to your soul before, you have tasted of the Lord that He is good, your heart yearns for more. And we see Peter's response, this heart of Peter, who had denied his master. He's now gone a-fishing. And he sees his Lord. He girds his coat about him. And now instead of saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man," he has some greater understanding of his Lord. And he runs, as it were, through the water to the shore. He would be like Mary, who would cling to Jesus. Peter can't wait any longer. He must have his Christ. What love and what zeal there is here toward his master. Peter here learns that what he could not keep, his Lord would keep for him. When Peter climbs up onto the shore and he sees there those burning coals, what a reminder. Those coals there in the garden when the little maid had said to him, "Thou art one of them." And he with cursing said, "I know not the man." And here is his Lord around the coals with great provision. And soon these other disciples are at the shore as well. And they're dragging this net behind them. 153 fish, and the net is not broken. And these were not small fish. They were, we read, large fish. There was not one among them which had to be thrown away. It's clear to us, isn't it, that the one who stood on the shore was directing every one of these fish into the net. Just as he had before, unknown to the disciples, directed every one of the fish to escape the net, he now directed each one of these 153 fish into the net. What a marvelous illustration for these disciples who were going to be sent out as fishermen to wait upon the Lord for His promise, which He would send from heaven, His Spirit. And as they lowered the net at His command on the day of Pentecost, they would gather in precisely those such as should be saved into the gospel net. And Jesus is reminding them in these moments to wait on Him and to depend on His provision. He was affirming to His disciples that they indeed were to be fishers of men. And so we too, as we face this new year, as the gospel net will again be let down, Christ from the eternal shores is gathering in His church. He's using men as means and instruments in His hand who labor in obedience to Him to gather in His church. He's using you as parents and grandparents in this way also, as you lay down your nets, as it were, in your homes, and you seek to gather in your children and grandchildren. And you follow in obedience to the Lord's commands. We may with expectation wait on His provision. Your labor at times may seem, as with the disciples, fruitless. And we may seem in ourselves to be utter failures. But then we're to turn to His Word and obey. And Jesus wants His disciples to learn what He would be for them. He would fulfill all their need. And that's our second thought, the Lord's provision. We read that as soon as they came to land, they saw that fire of coals, and we read fish and bread thereon. A full meal prepared. And yet, perhaps you noticed, what did Jesus ask the disciples to do? Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. How characteristic of our Lord. He who directed these fish into the net is saying now to the disciples, those fish you caught, the ones I directed into the net, you bring them to the coals and we will fix a meal. A meal I have already prepared for you. And isn't this like our Lord, as He has throughout His ministry had men and women who came to Him and trusted in Him and were made whole, and He marveled at their faith. Great is your faith, be it unto you even as you will. That faith that I have given you. And so it is for us at the close of this year. Be it unto you as you close this year, not resting in the things that you and I have done. Our nets are empty, but looking to Him and what He has promised to provide. And be thankful for the things of His provision that He has given to us already. In this passage, you will see that Jesus not only has done a miracle in that these fish had come into the net, but He had provided already fish and bread. And just as I believe here in this passage, there's indications that just as during His earthly ministry, when He took the fishes and broke them and multiplied them and the bread and the mountains and fed the multitudes, I believe that's the same thing that's happening here. The Greek allows itself to be understood in that way. As He gives to His disciples, He's called them now to come and dine. There was a bounty and a fullness with the risen and resurrected Lord. And the disciples didn't need to ask who He was. No doubt they were all hungry physically. They had toiled all night. And now there is ample, sufficient provision for all their need. We've gone through another year. We've perhaps labored hard, worked to the bone. In many respects, we don't have much to show for it at the end of the year. And yet our Lord comes to us at the end of this year. He says to you and to me, come. Come and dine. Come to the meal that I prepare for you. The fish, the bread. In a sense, we could say our Lord comes to us at the end of this year and He says, look to my body, broken for you, and my blood shed for you. Everything the disciples needed was there, especially because Christ was there. And if Christ is with us as we enter in and ring out, as it were, this year and enter into the new, you and I have everything. But if we have to leave this year and enter into a new year without this Christ, we are empty. We have nothing. But the promise and the comfort that comes to us, that comes to the church today, is the same as what these disciples experienced. We ought to live each and every day, not by sight, but by faith. So these disciples had to learn at His command, at His word we obey and are blessed. We often want to do it our way and do our commands, and we will find it empty. We need rather to come and listen to what Jesus is saying to us simply and plainly in His Word. I will provide. Call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. Jesus knew the thoughts of His disciples afar off. He knew their doubts. He knew their fears. He knew they had caught nothing. But He comes with His provision to satisfy all their need. And therefore, we need to take courage at the end of this year. Poor, a doubting soul who might be here tonight, tossed with tempest. The Master comes as He did to the disciples who had nothing in their nets. Says, come. Cast your net on the other side. Trust in Me. Come and dine. And the Lord makes no mistakes. And when the disciples were come to shore, not only was there a net so full of fish, there was, as I said, that coal of fire and the fish and the bread on it. Doesn't this remind us of the provision, the full provision of our Lord Jesus Christ, who stood on the eternal shores, seeing the need of sinners, and said, lo, I am coming. In the volume of the book, it's written of Me, I delight to do Thy will. And He came and He gave His life, a ransom for sinners. And now as the elder brother, who is the friend that is one who sticks closer than a brother, He comes with His word of provision to us at the close of this year. And He provides us with bounty of His grace. We need not ask who this is. It is the Lord. John recognized it in this miracle. And it's he who, by the knowledge he had of Christ, that it's this one who stands on the shore. And as you look into this new year, at the end of this year, it is Christ who's standing already on the shore of the new year to come. And He's saying to you and to me, come and dine. Enter this new year in dependence upon Me. These are the things, My child, I have done for you. Now go forth in My strength. Let down the net on the other side of the ship and gather in the bounty that I provide. Come and dine. It was an invitation, really, to sit down with Christ and commune with Him, the resurrected Lord. And if you come to the end of this year, burdened, weighed down perhaps with cares and concerns, things which perhaps have hindered you in your communion with Christ, He says to you tonight, come. Come to Me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Come and dine. Pour out your hearts before Me. My grace is sufficient for you. I've never cast out one, even like a Peter, who has denied Me to His face. This Lord is desirous of communing with you. And if you are desirous also to commune with Him, if you have tasted the Lord is gracious, what can you imagine these disciples as they gather around this coals of fire? They must have thought how ignorant we have been. He told us to go to Galilee, and we went to go fishing. We toiled all night and brought in nothing. And at His command, we let down the net on the other side of the ship and brought in an abundance. And now He has said to us, in spite of our disobedience and our emptiness, come and dying. The disciples who had reasoned according to their flesh now were taught to depend on the Lord and His word of promise. And very shortly they would find His word to be faithful and true. He sent His Spirit from heaven and had poured out upon them in abundant measure, that the church was expanded. And should we enter this new year with empty nets or with anticipation and expectation on His bounty? Every time I preach here too, there's empty places everywhere. Will we see the day in which the net is full, and we see the Lord by His Spirit pouring out upon us abundance of provision? At the end of this year, our Lord says to us, with all your emptiness, come and dine. Amen.